John Paul then interrupts his theology of the body again after discussing eschatological virginity. The Pope inserts here a very close examination of virtually all 40 verses of 1 Corinthians 7. One way to approach John Paul's tight argumentation is to think of motivating people with either the stick or the carrot. Have you ever used the stick or the carrot, punishment or reward, in motivating your children? I remember how we students at Catholic high school experienced both the carrot and the stick from our beloved principal, Father George Tribune. He treated freshmen as a strict father, or more like a Marine drill sergeant. Punishments came fast, but they were fair. By our senior year, though, Father Tribune softened up and treated us more like a grandfather. The Pope explains the mind of St. Paul observing. Or rather, John Paul maintains that St. Paul employs the stick to motivate people to choose continence for the kingdom of heaven, writing this: "I say this to you, brothers, the time has grown short." And later he says, "For the stage of this world is passing away." The Pope explains Paul's purpose in this passage. This statement about the futility of human life and the transitoriness of the temporal world, in some sense, the accidental character of everything created, should motivate those who have wives to live as if though they had none, and should prepare the ground for the teaching about continence. By the way, this same stick of how the world is passing and is transitory motivated me to choose priesthood when I left India and felt like I had lost everything. That transitoriness moved me deeply to seek what is not transitory, but rather permanent, namely God. And later, that motivation matured into virginity for the kingdom. I felt like a freshman at Catholic High, having the stick used. On the other hand, St. Paul knows precisely when to entice with a carrot. St. Paul writes, "The unmarried person is anxious about what is the Lord's, how to please the Lord." John Paul notes the supreme significance of this statement, adding, "This statement embraces the whole field of man's personal relationship with God, to please God." The expression is found in ancient books of the Bible, like Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 19, is a synonym of life in God's grace and expresses the attitude of the one who seeks God or who behaves according to his will so as to be pleasing to him. By the time we were seniors at Catholic High, Father Tribune no longer needed to use the stick of punishment and fear. Why? Well, we tried to obey the school rules now out of love and admiration for him, because we wanted to please him, and we understood how much he loved us. We were moved now by the carrot of his approbation. When we understand how motivation, like the carrot and the stick, operate in the human heart, like Father Tribune taught us, we understand why St. Paul suggests that virginity is better than marriage. He wrote in verse 38 of 1 Corinthians chapter 7, he who refrains from marriage will do better. Why is virginity better than marriage? Well, Paul is not speaking pejoratively about marriage, but only highlighting how these two motives are functioning in virginity. That is the carrot and the stick. If these two motives were also operative in marriage, both vocations would stand on equal footing. There would be nothing superior about celibacy. The Pope adds this explanatory note. In answering the question addressed to him in this way, St. Paul attempts to explain very precisely that the decision about continence or the life of virginity must be voluntary, and that only such continence is better than marriage. Put briefly, what matters in our vocation is the motivation. Present in virginity, but typically absent in marriage. Otherwise, there is nothing better or laudatory about continence versus marriage. I personally met Pope St. John Paul II on three occasions. The last time was in 2003 when I attended a private mass with the Holy Father in his personal chapel with only 24 other people present. It was memorable. The Pope Saint by that point was confined to a wheelchair and already showed signs of Parkinson's with a shaky left hand. Nonetheless, he was fully vested in priestly garments at the Mass and attempted with great difficulty all the liturgical gestures and movements of a priest. I vowed that day never to complain about all the priestly motions at the Mass, but rather to do each one carefully and with devotion. It was as if John Paul were teaching the final lessons of the theology of the body, saying in effect, this is what we have a body for, to worship God, and precisely in that way, to please God. Today, however, Pope St. John Paul II's body is in no way burdened with illness and old age, but awaits the glorious day of the resurrection of the dead. On that last day, that great and eternal Easter, John Paul's body will be fully and powerfully reunited with his soul, just like Jesus' body is glorious in heaven, and he will again be able to go hiking on his beloved Tatra Mountains in Poland. Heck, he could fly over them. Praised be Jesus Christ.